a favorite story of mine. You've heard it before, most of you. Matter of fact, you heard it last year. I looked at some old notes and didn't know it, but we looked at this January of last year. That's all right. We look at it every year. This is a true story. True story of our Lord, His conversation with this woman, the dealings with this woman, and His treatment, our Lord's treatment of this woman would shock everyone if they really looked at it. Most people, their notions about some Jesus, if they would look at this story, they'd be shocked at how He treated this woman, what He said to her. But this woman's reaction to what the Lord said to her and His dealings with her is a reaction and response of every true believer. Every one of us in here must be faced with these things that she heard, that He said to her. And our response, by God's grace, must be the same as hers. Or we're not His. He won't heal us from this deadly disease. Verse 21, let's look at it. 21 and 22. Then went Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman, Mark's gospel says a certain woman, came out of the same coast and cried unto Him. I mean, she cried out. Cried out, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou Son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." This woman came to meet the Lord, who came walking out of this town and came running and was just hollering and crying, "Oh, have mercy on me, oh Lord." This was a desperate woman. Obviously a desperate woman. Had a great need. A great need. And she came to the Lord pleading with Him, begging Him to help her. I mean, she's sincere. From the depths of her heart, she's crying unto Him. She need help. Her daughter, vexed with the devil. And she's desperate. She's desperate. She comes crying to the Lord. If the truth be known, folks, the truth be known, everybody in here is in desperate circumstances. Really. We're desperately needy of this same one to do something for us. Not just our daughters and sons, but for us. That's right. That's what this book says. Preacher included, starting right here with me. Desperate. We're desperately needy people. If the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't have mercy on us, we're a goner. The Scripture says it's of the Lord's mercy that we're not consumed. That's what the Scripture says. Of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. And the fact of the matter is, it's not like preachers are telling people everywhere how much God loves them and has a wonderful plan for their life and everything's going to be all right because God loves you and peace, peace, when there is no peace. That's not the way it is. God doesn't love people that rarely give Him thought. No, sir. That's not so. The fact of the matter is, most of this world's in the hands of an angry God. Under the wrath of God. That's what this book says. And God, Scripture says, and the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of it more than anybody. Christ said, God's going to destroy this planet full of people. That's not a God of love. But that's the God of this book. And we're in desperate circumstances. Here we are. We're in desperate need, every one of us, starting with me, in desperate need of God to have mercy on us. This world, everyone, nearly everyone in it, is vexed, like this girl was, with the devil. That's what this book says. He's called the God of this world. And I know it's old-fashioned. I know modern educated people scoff at the notion of a devil. But again, Jesus Christ spoke of Satan more than anybody. And to scoff at that is to call Jesus Christ a liar. And he said, Satan, as a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour. Is that what the Lord Jesus Christ said? What the Scripture said? And we all, every one of us, need to cry out the same thing as this woman. God be gracious and help us and show us our true need. We, every one of us, be sincerely begging the Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. I'm vexed. And she calls him the Son of David. See that? Son of David. Oh, thou Son of David. Why does she call him that? Well, somebody taught her well that the Christ would come from David, King of Kings. That the King, the true King, would come from David. David was the only true King of Israel, beginning King. And she comes calling on the King. Have mercy on me. What she's saying is, you're Lord, have mercy on me, O Lord, sovereign ruler over all. The only one that can and must have mercy on me. And you're the King. You're the King. She said, my daughter, verse 22, is grievously vexed with the devil. I want you to turn with me, 1 Peter chapter 5. Turn over there with me. 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5. And read that with me that I quoted to you. Just don't take my word for it. Let's look at it. 1 Peter 5, I said Christ said it. Well, he did. And he said it to Peter. The Lord said it to Peter. Peter, Satan hath desired thee to sift you. And Peter writes it here in verse 8, 1 Peter 5, 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Some it's more obvious than others, you know, that he has under his dominion. And 2 Timothy, let me read this to you. 2 Timothy, verses 25 and 26, says, to the preacher in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the knowledge of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Taken captive. So, you see what I'm saying? This is not just a story of the Lord healing a woman, a woman's daughter vexed with the devil. We need, this is to us. So we might as well not look at it. Now this poor woman comes to the Lord Jesus Christ for mercy. That's what she asked for, that's mercy. Have mercy on me. Surely the Lord Jesus is glad she has come. Surely he's so happy that she has decided to let Jesus, and I'm talking in the language of modern preachers, surely he's happy that she has decided to let Jesus save her daughter, and she's accepted him as her personal Savior. And he's going to be so happy that she has come and just wish she'd come so much sooner. And he wanted so badly to... Is that right? Look at it. It says in verse 23, he answered her not a word. He ignores her. He totally ignores her. This woman, understand this. Let's think about the picture now. Here's a woman comes the Lord Jesus Christ comes. She runs to him, and I believe she fell down at his feet and started crying. Oh Lord, have mercy! Just crying, literally crying, begging you, have mercy on me, Son of David. Please help me, my daughter. I need help badly. Surely he's so touched and so happy she's come, and he just ignores her. He doesn't even answer her. He doesn't even speak to her. I believe he turned his back on her and walked away. Huh? You ever heard a modern preacher preach on this? I haven't. Probably don't know what to do with that. He ignores her. How could he do this? Why would he do this? Why would he do that? Why would he ignore her? Huh? Because this is the true Jesus Christ of Scripture. This is the God of the Bible. This is the Jesus that's in this book, not the one that preachers are telling people about. This is the true one. He doesn't have to answer anybody. He's not waiting, hoping people will come calling on him. He's just at their beck and call. He's just waiting, you know, like preachers say, out their heart's door, just hoping so much they'll let him know. That's not so. He doesn't have to answer anybody. He's not waiting on anybody. Kings don't hope that their subjects come up and do something for them. We know very little about a king today. We're trying to do away with about the last one on earth, the last dictator on earth, Saddam Hussein. You reckon he hoped people would let him be king and people that would accept him as their personal dictator? He's just so happy about it. And he killed thousands of people just at a whim. That's a king. That's a dictator. That's a ruler. The Lord Jesus Christ is not this Jesus that men are talking about. He's not obligated to answer anybody. Is he? You're not obligated to answer anybody at any time. Most folks go a lifetime. Most people. I went many years without giving God a thought. God just gives food and raiment and everything that we have. A man can receive nothing, John said, except it be given him from above. God Almighty gives a man life, sustains that life, or a woman sustains that life for years, a young person, gives them, people in this country especially, born under privileged circumstances with most of what this life has to offer. Who made you to differ? Why were we born in America and not born in Iraq? Sovereign purpose of God Almighty. We have more to be accountable for. The people go years, and I did it, you did it. People still doing it. Go for years without giving God a thought. Rain comes down, without which we can't live. Give God thanks for the rain? Nah. If it rains too much, you'll cuss him. Raining on their parade or their Sunday party. Go a lifetime without giving God thanks, without giving God the glory for everything they have, thinking that they did it. That because they're smarter and bigger and better and more tender or whatever, that they do what they do because they're... No, sir. By the grace of God, we are what we are. No flesh, he said, should glory in his presence. Let the wise man not glory in his wisdom, Scripture says. The strong man in his might, or the beautiful woman in her beauty. Why is anybody born one way and not another? Sovereign purpose and grace of God. And people go a lifetime. Some people go a lifetime without giving God a thought. But now let some trouble come along. Let somebody get sick. Somebody die. Something bad happen. Lose a job. House burned down. Whatever. And they start crying unto God. All of a sudden, start crying unto God. God help us. O Lord. Well, he's just supposed to drop everything and just so glad that they finally called unto him. Is that right? He didn't answer her. He ignored her. Is that right? He ignored her. And God, most of the time, people, you see these vigils, these prayer, the whole, everybody, the world, the nation, the community and all that has these prayers for things. That young girl that was kidnapped, they didn't know what happened to her. And everybody started praying. Everybody, collectively, started praying. People, or they said they did. People prayed that don't normally pray. Surely God's going to hear. No, he didn't. That girl's dead. Right? Why didn't God hear him?
He doesn't have to.
That's not the God of this Bible. He doesn't have to. Usually he doesn't. Usually he doesn't. He doesn't hear him. Matter of fact, there's only one person he ever said that he always heard. Right? Jesus Christ. He said, Christ said, I know you always hear me. Well, but our Lord is trying this woman. How do you feel about what was just said? Let me ask you, everybody in here, how do you feel about that? Think the Lord was unfair? Do you believe what all was just said? The Lord ignored this woman. Was she sincere? He didn't answer her a word. Well, she went running to the disciples. She went running to the apostles. The Lord turned his back on her, walked away. She went running to the apostles, to the disciples. Look at it. And they said, the disciples came and besought him. After she went to them, they came back to him saying, Lord, just send her away. She's begging us. She's crying unto us. You know, these fellows, these apostles were true preachers. These fellows weren't in it for the money. They weren't interested in what people thought about them. They all got killed because people hated what they said. The Lord told them to say what he told them to say, and they went out and said it, and people killed them for it, hated them. Said, we don't like that. Christ says, it's not you that hates me. You're just saying what I told you to say. They were true preachers. They weren't in it for money. They weren't in it for a name for themselves. And there's still some fellows like that today. Well, this woman came to them. This woman came to them to help her, asked them to help her, and being the true men that they were, they came back to Christ. They went straight back to him, he said. Men, these preachers and so-called counselors and all that today, they love it when people come to them for advice about marriage and what have you, you know. They love it. Gives them a real sense of their own importance, they think, and power, and, you know, counselors. I told you, psychiatrist is the leading profession in suicides. Boy, I tell you, I don't want to go to those fellas for help, do you? Sure don't. Well, these fellas were true fellas. And then she came to them, help me. What did they do? They went running to Christ. Said, Lord, we can't help her. Just send her away from us. People come to me for help, and I think, you know, I've got my own troubles. What can I do about my marriage? Well, you go to the Lord, that's where I go. Go straight to him for help. They went back to the Lord. Lord, help us. People ask me, whenever somebody asks me a question, when they say, I got a question for you. Oh, man, I got questions of my own. As soon as they ask me that, I start quietly, secretly, asking the Lord, Lord, I can't help them. Would you tell me something from your word I can give to them? Just let me think about a scripture that you have. I don't know, man. There's nothing I can say or do to help them. Can't help myself. Either that or send them away. You see that? These are true fellows. These aren't hirelings. It's not Reverend Dr. Peter. Well, all right. So the Lord answers verse 24. He speaks. And he said, I think he said this to them, and they went back and told her. All right? Verse 24. He answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I'm pretty sure that he said this to them, and they went back and told her. The Lord said he's not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And that's fitting, because whatever the Lord says to you and me, he says to a preacher. You know that? That's right. You know what he tells us? Same thing that they told her. He's not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He doesn't have to answer you. He doesn't have to save you. He's not hoping you'll let him do anything. No, he's King of Kings. Lord, he might have mercy. He might not. It's up to him. And he said that he's not sent. He's only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, there. What's her reaction? You ask me, somebody may ask me, why do you continually preach God's sovereignty and God's election and so forth? Why do you continually preach that? I know people that listen to the radio think he's going to say it. I'm waiting on him to say it. I know they do. I know they listen to it thinking he's going to say elect in some point in his message. He's going to say it. And they wait on it. There it is. I told you to say it. Why?
Because that's the language of this Bible.
That's the language of Scripture. That's exactly what the Lord Jesus said to this woman. I'm not sent. I'm sent, number one. I wasn't called for. Man didn't call for me and ask me to come. I was sent by God. And I'm not sent but to certain people. Not whoever will let me, but I'm sent by God to a certain people. God says, call his name Jesus, he shall save his people. Christ said, all that the Father giveth me, that's who I came for. Not trying to get anybody to do something for me or let me do anything. I came with a job to do. Came to certain people. I'm not sent but to the lost sheep. I'm not sent to argue with goats. I'm not trying to convince goats. People who all they do is but, you know. Yeah, but. I'm not sent to you. I'm not talking to you. I'm not arguing with you, he said. Lost, and they're lost. Everybody God comes to, they're lost. They're not just good people that need help every now and then. They're not just people that know some things that just need a little more education. They're not people who, basically good people, but they just need a little, you know, honing around the edges. Lost sheep.
Scripture says,
lost, plumb law. You know what it means to be lost? Ask Walter Gruber. I've never really been lost. Well, my wife says I have in the car on vacation, you know, somewhere. I never would admit it. No, I'm right where I'm at. Don't you damn. No husband's ever been lost on the road. Ask Walter Gruber, though, what it means to be lost. He was out hunting down in Mexico, that flat land, no mountains anywhere, no water, no nothing. He went out hunting. I don't know what he was hunting. And the men told him, don't go out alone. Don't ever go out alone. Don't do it. It's dangerous. Native men down there. I hear this gringo. I know more than they do. dumb Mexicans, and I'll go out. I've been hunting before. They went out and got disoriented in the heat, 110 degrees down there in the shade. Ran out of water, got dehydrated. Mind started leaving him. Not only did he not know where he was, he was losing his mind. He got down on the ground, and he was dying. He's lost. That's what it means to be lost. He doesn't even know the way. He can't find the way. Even if he knew the way, Brother Stephen, he couldn't go it. He's down on the ground. He's a goner. Was he saved? What does it mean to be saved? What does it mean to be saved? Somebody came and found him. Somebody came and got him. Somebody came and picked him up, poured water down his throat, took him home. That's what it means to be lost, and that's what it means to be saved. And that's what this Jesus must do for every son of Adam. We're lost. We don't know the way. We don't even know we're lost. That's how lost we are. I ain't lost. That's every natural man's reaction. I know. He said, I'm not sent but to the lost. Only lost people need to be found. Only lost people need a Savior, right? Lost people, not sent but the lost sheep, not goats. Of where? Where do they come from? The house of Israel. Who's that? God's elect. I said it. God's elect. God's chosen people. That's what he said to this woman. What do you think about that? What's she going to think? What's her response to that? First he ignores her. He doesn't answer at all. How rude. Secondly, he said, I'm not sent but to my elect. This is the test of every true believer. Are you listening to this? Now, what's your reaction? It's the test of all of God's true people. You see, our Lord, he said the same thing to that woman at the well. He said, you don't know what you worship, salvations of the Jews. Remember that? Salvation of the Jews. And you don't know what you worship. See, God, the test of true believers, God's people, he said there in that chapter 4 of John, he said, worship him. They worship him as God. That true worshipers come to church, believe what they believe, because they believe God's God. They don't come to do God a favor. They don't come thinking that God is pleased with it. They come because they worship God as God. They believe He is God, and that everything they have and are is by His grace, and He's God. And He's said to worship, so they come to worship. And they come desiring His glory. God's people are in this for God's glory, not for what they can get out of God. Well, I'll worship you if you... No. They come because He deserves to be given thanks. Why do we sing these hymns? Because it's the thing to do on Sunday? No. Because God deserves to be thanked and to be praised. That's what the angels are doing right now. That's what everybody's doing. Because God is God. That's why. And we're in His hands, and we have everything from Him, and we're breathing breath right now that He gives us. And this minute He stops it, we're gone. We're His. We live because He says live. We have because He has given. So we come to worship. That's what it's all about. Look at it. Look at what she did. Verse 25, after hearing that, she came and she worshipped Him. You see that? She worshipped Him. Surely she, ignores her. And then he said, I'm only sent to the elect. She worships Him. She worships Him. But she's still needy. Lord, help us. Help me. Help me. Help me. Now, do you reckon the Lord will? Surely now He will, won't He? Surely now He'll
help her, won't He? Surely.
Surely now He's going to, you know, have mercy on her, surely. Let's read it. Verse 26, He answered and said, It's not meet, or that is, it's not fit to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. The children are Israelites. Children of Israel. Alright? He says, it's not, and she's a Gentile woman. Canaanite, Syrophoenicians, Gentile. The Israelites called them dogs. And he said, it's not fit, it's not right for me to give children's bread to dogs. He called, Brother Mac, he called her a dog. What do you think about that? What's she going to think about that? What's she going to say? First, he ignores her. Secondly, he says, no, I'm only sent to the elect. And then he calls her a dog. I don't know what she's going to say. What do you say? What do you think? If I preach this message, and I'm just preaching it like it's written there. If I stood in an average place in Rocky Mount, Virginia today and preached this message,
people would be absolutely gritting their teeth, their veins sticking out in their neck, ready, if it was lawful, to stone me. You know that? Just for saying what this book says. Honestly. Honestly.
What's he going to say? He ignores her. He said, I'm only sent to the elect. And he calls her a dog. What's she going to do?
She's going to do what every believer does. She's going to react the same way every single believer does. By God's grace.
Look at it. She says, verse 27.
Lord.
Doesn't she? Truth. Lord, everything you say is truth. Truth. Notice that, Brother Gay? He said truth. Not true, but truth. He is the truth. Whatever he says is truth. We're saved by the truth. We're delivered from ignorance by the truth. We're set free by the truth. The truth. Everything Christ said is the truth. People say true things without saying the truth. People say God is love. That's true. But that's not the whole truth. You understand? You following me? Barbara, you with me? Men say some true things. God is love. Yes, it says that. But that's not the truth. The truth is God is holy. God is angry. God is wrath. God is judgment. God is love, yes. God is mercy. God is grace, yes. God is just. That's truth. Who He is. It's true that Jesus Christ died for people. That's not the whole truth. He died for His people. He died for His people given to Him by the Father. He died and put away their sins forever. Gave them His righteousness. Sends the Holy Spirit to reveal who Christ is to them, keep them by His grace, cause them to grow in grace and the knowledge of Christ, and persevere, preserve them, and that they persevere until the end in the faith. That's truth, He said. Truth. Truth, Lord. Truth. Yet, look at it. Yet, she says, the dogs, truth, Lord. You're the truth. Everything He says is the truth, Lord. Yet, the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. what she's saying is, I'm a dog. Yes, you're right. Truth, I'm a dog. I'm a dog. That's her response. It's all said and done. She says, yeah, truth, and I'm a dog. And I'm just asking for crumbs. I don't deserve to sit at the table. I don't deserve the T-bone steak from the table. I don't deserve anything, but I'm just looking for some crumbs. And I'll be a dog if I can be your dog. I'll be a dog if I can be your dog. And I just want crumbs, just crumbs. Look at it. What he says. You going to answer her now? Oh, he sure is. He answered and said unto her, verse 28, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole right then. Only two people in all of Scripture, Christ said, had great faith. And this woman's one of them. Two Gentile dogs. The other one was a Roman centurion. A Roman centurion. A Gentile dog. A Roman centurion. Not a Jew. Not a Jewish Pharisee or scribe or religious person. But a Roman soldier. An old rough Roman soldier who heard about Christ. And that Roman soldier one time had a son who was dying. And he sent word to Christ to ask him to come to his house and heal his son. And finally, he sent word again and said, no, don't come to my house. I'm not worthy for you to come to my house. I'm not worthy for you to come into my house. And the Lord said, he has great faith. And this woman said, I'm a dog. I don't deserve anything. I just want crumbs. And the Lord said, she has great faith. Great faith. He said, you get what you want. What's that? Mercy. Her daughter healed. What about us? What about us? This is saving faith. Her reaction, and the reason she reacted, you know, the average person, how would you have reacted? How would you have reacted? Ignored you? I'm just sent to the elect. And they call you a dog. Oh, you're a dog. You don't deserve anything. How would you react? All of God's people react the same way. It's truth. Truth, Lord. I'm a dog. I'm a dog. You know all dogs go to heaven? My pastor preached this, and that's what he called the name of the message. All dogs go to heaven. Our Lord's a dog lover. He's a dog lover. There ain't no dog. Then you're not going to heaven. Every dog, every person in Scripture who is called a dog went to glory. I told you about the children of Israel, didn't I, who went into the promised land. And you remember there were only two people over the age of 20 that went into the promised land. Of all those hundreds of thousands of Jews, only two people went into the promised land. I told you who it was, didn't I? You remember? Joshua, which is the Old Testament name for Jesus, God our Savior. Joshua, who was Moses' right-hand man. That's a picture of Christ. That's Christ. Joshua, he's going in. And Caleb. And what's the name Caleb mean? Faithful dog. Wherever Joshua was, Caleb was right there. That's a faithful dog. Wherever Joshua was, and you read the story, Caleb's right there. Whatever Joshua said, Caleb, that's right. Good dog. Good dog. There's a fellow named Mephibosheth. That's my favorite story. In the years of the staff. A fellow named Mephibosheth in the Old Testament. David was king. David was king. They knew he was king. David could cut your head off or let you live. David could take everything you own or give you everything that he owned. Because king, that's a king, that's a sovereign king. David might hear you, might not. He's David, he's king. There was a fella named Mephibosheth, lame on both legs, crippled, down in a house. He was a son of Saul, the old king, that was an enemy of David. He was one of Saul's sons, and David gave order to kill all Saul's sons. Kill all those enemy sons. Kill them all. They don't deserve to live. They're enemy of mine, and they're traitors and rebels, and they might start insurrection against the king. Kill them all. But there's this one fella. One fella named Mephibosheth. Lame, crippled. What did David need with a cripple? What did David need? Let's just say it like it is. What did David need with that fella, that poor fella down there in Lodabar, who was by birth an enemy? What did he need with it? Nothing. But David sent word, sent two of his men down there to get Mephibosheth and bring him up there. Why? Because David had a friend that he loved dearly, named Jonathan. And Jonathan was Mephibosheth's father. Saul was his grandfather. But Jonathan was a friend to David. And Jonathan and David made a covenant together.
I got to tell the whole story.
Jonathan and David made a covenant together. Jonathan knew that David was true king. And Jonathan said, "Would you have mercy on somebody in my house for my sake, because of the relationship we have, because of this covenant? Let's make an agreement. I know you're going to be king and sit on the throne, and nobody in my house deserves to live. They're all enemies. My father and brethren and all that are enemies of yours, but I love you and we're brethren, and would you have mercy on just one of my sons when I'm gone, and have mercy on him, and spare him, and don't kill him?" David said, "I'll do it for your sake, Jonathan." And David went down there and fetched that Mephibosheth, sent word to him, or sent these two men down there to get him, to fetch him. He's lame. He can't come. He can't come. But these two men had to pick him up and bring him all the way to the king and set him down before the king. What do you think Mephibosheth is going to say? He's an enemy. He deserves to die. All of his other brothers are dying. What's he going to say? He says, "I'm a dead dog." He said, "I ain't nothing but a dead dog. Run, kill him." David said, "No, you're not. You're going to sit at my table and eat with me every day from now on. And ain't nobody going to touch you ever. You're my son from here on out. All dogs sit at the king's table." Dog. And this woman says, "That's, I'm a dog, Lord. I'm a dog." Great faith. All dogs. All dogs go to heaven. Good people don't. Self-righteous people don't. People that think there's something, everybody else, they don't. They don't go there. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. Christ came into the world to save sinners. Chief of sinners. Paul was the greatest apostle, yet he said, "I'm not fit to be one. I'm really not fit to be one." Any preacher, any person, anybody that thinks there's something when they're nothing is not going to be with God someday. God's going to get all the glory and honor. All of it. Anybody thinks they've had anything to do with them getting to heaven is not going to be there. Not going to be there. Only dogs who realize they're there because the Master called them. And I know you've heard this story, and I've got to tell it. I have a dog named Abner. And I love that. He's a wonderful dog. My neighbors had one. Any of y'all have dogs? You have dogs? Sure you do. What good is a dog? I'm serious. Please, somebody. I know people, but my dog, he's just a dog.
People,
listen, you could kill every dog on this planet and the world would be all right, wouldn't it? Come on, now, dog lover, I know it. Be honest. Do we need dogs? What good are dogs? Oh, is that to save people? They're just dogs, aren't they? They're just dogs.
Is that being too unreasonable? No, they're just dogs. A dog is a dog, let's face it. My neighbors have a dog named Heidi. Now, I have two dogs, Abner and Annie. I chose them both. Set my love on them. Brought them home with me, feed them, clothe them, and I'm not ever going to sell them or give them to anybody. They're my dogs. But they're just dogs. I don't need them, but they're my dogs. And I love them. Now, my neighbor has a dog. And one day, we hadn't lived in our house very long, and this dog came walking up on the property. Well, I don't need three dogs. I don't need two dogs. I didn't need one dog. Now I've got four. Sure didn't need a dog in the house. You hear that? I gave it to my child. All right, this another dog came walking up on the property. Oh, it's a pretty dog. It's a sweet dog. But I don't need another dog. Just another mouth to feed. So I said, get. I didn't say it very nice, Rick. How you run off a dog? He don't say, oh, no, come on, please. I really know you'd like to be here, but, you know, it's so. They'll come to you that way. Get. And she did. Next day she was back. So I tried to be rougher. Get. Yeah. Next day she came a little closer. I know what's happening.
You see, Abner and Annie are telling her. They were telling her. They were going to her house. If you just keep coming, he'll add you.
I threw a rock at her. Please don't get mad at me. But I threw rocks at her. I wasn't going to kill her. I wasn't going to maim her. I was just going to hit her in the rump, you know, with a rock. Get! Boom! She ran out, took off. The next day, she's back. Threw two rocks. Finally, listen to me now. Finally, she kept coming. What am I going to do? It's not that I could have done her in, couldn't I? Huh? I could have done her in. There's a sheep farmer up in West Virginia who had sheep and dogs, you know, if they ever get a taste of sheep blood, they'll slaughter them. They'll prey for coyotes, dogs, whatever, kill them. And he was having trouble with neighbors' dogs and all who were killing his sheep. You know, this is his livelihood. And so he had to shoot dogs. He got on his property. What are you going to do? You're a good shepherd, you won't protect your sheep. He called his neighbors, you got to do something about your dog. And they didn't. So one day a neighbor called him and says, my dog up there, you see my dog? He said, if he's been here, he's here. It's just a dog. He's protecting the sheep. Well, what do you think I did, old Heidi? Well, I got three dogs. Finally, one day I said, oh, come on. Come on, Heidi. Come on in. And she eats their food. She sleeps where they sleep. She's there 24 hours a day. She will not go home again. I called my neighbor and I said, just send a little food every now and then to feed your dog. It's up here. It didn't matter. I didn't care. But she's my dog now. We call her our dog, don't we? Call her our dog. All dogs, importunate dogs, they keep coming, you know. But you can't run off. You call them a dog. Well, I know I'm a dog. But I sure need a master like you. Now old Heidi's got about the best place on the planet. So a dog comes to our place, they've got it made. Not to do anything. Just eat. All dogs go to heaven. Great is thy faith, woman. Great is thy faith. That's the faith of every one of God's people. Is that the way you feel about yourself, Margaret? Is that the way you feel about yourself? I don't deserve to be here. I sure am glad to be here, though. I'm nothing. I'm nobody special. I believe the Lord's had mercy on me. I'm not some good Christian. I'm just...
The Lord's had mercy on me. I'm a dog, and I'm here because I'm worshiping the Master for letting me come.
You see, that's why we come. All right. I've been too long. Let's sing a closing hymn, Brother Gabe. Was it 233? Is that the number? 233 in the green book. Let's sing just two verses. 233, the first and third verses, okay? Stand. First and third verses.
Love.